I want you to imagine that you have a house guest at your place and they begin complaining to you that they have a headache. And so you go up to your medicine cabinet, you start rummaging around for some kind of medicine that is not hopelessly expired, which would reflect many of the medicines in my medicine cabinet, and you emerge with a particular kind of medicine. Now, I brought one here just so we could all look at. You find your acetaminophen. You find your Tylenol. And you take out two tablets, and you give them to the person. And it doesn't make any difference. And their headache is not affected. It doesn't go away. They are still complaining. And ultimately, you learn to your horror that it wasn't any ordinary headache, it actually was bacterial meningitis, and they needed penicillin. Would the reasonable response be to take your acetaminophen and throw it in the trash and say, I guess this doesn't work? Would that be the reasonable response for you to have? To say, well, if acetaminophen didn't treat bacterial meningitis, then therefore, it must be no good. It must not treat anything. Would that make sense? No, of course not. You would say, oh, they just needed a different medicine than this one, but that doesn't mean this medicine isn't valuable, isn't necessary, and won't become useful at a time in the future. Now, why do I start with acetaminophen and medicine and this whole hypothetical? It's because this morning we are turning to some of the stiffest medicine that Jesus ever gave. Jesus was a teacher who loved presenting the gospel of the kingdom of God. And Jesus has some of the most comforting medicine that a soul could ever hope to hear. He said words like, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. That's some wonderful medicine to hear, isn't it? Some of you heard that medicine at some point in your life, and you said, okay, Jesus, I'll come. He says words like, if you come to me, I will never cast you out. I will never kick you to the curb. I will never boot you back out the door. And so we say, that sounds great. I'll come. He says words of hope and encouragement and faith, and we look at those words and we cling to those words and we say, that's the medicine that I need. But if we're being honest with the words of Jesus, we see some other words that don't feel to many ears like it's very comfortable to take in. Words like in Luke 13, when someone comes to ask him a question, Lord, are there few that are saved? Will there be few in your kingdom one day? Will heaven's door only be open to a few? And Jesus looks not just at him, but notice here in verse 22 and then into verse 23, he says, and he said unto them. In other words, he's not just responding to the one asking him the question. He's looking at the whole group. And he says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Why? Why do we need to strive? For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in. They will try to enter in and shall not be able when once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door. This is strong medicine. This is the kind of medicine that responds to the question about how many people will be in heaven one day and says, I have a more important question. Not whether few will be in heaven, but whether you will be in heaven. And his answer to that questioner and his answer to all of us this morning is strive. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Now, maybe you are starting to feel why this is stiff medicine. because we have been trained and well taught from our Bible the doctrine of justification by grace alone, through faith alone. You have heard it taught and preached in this pulpit that there is no merit of your own that will justify you getting into heaven, that there is no amount of striving and working, no amount of human effort and human merit that will make the door of God's kingdom open to you. You know, we use words like trust, believe, rest in Christ and what he's done. That's the only way to be saved. That's the only way to enter into the door. And so then, when we have a theology that is rightly and truly focused on the grace of God in the work of Christ, in which we can only trust and rest, that to hear Jesus say, you need to strive to enter in at the straight gate, we step back and we say, okay, I'm not sure I understand what that means. And I suspect that in the same way, this kind of difficulty, this feeling of tension affects even the way we preach and teach. I was going through some of my favorite preachers to see what they have said on this passage, and from what I could tell, they've never preached on it at all. Now, I don't say that to be critical of them in any way. I went and looked at our website for the last time I preached on this text, and it was 9 years ago this month. 9 years ago. But the name of our church is the Straight Gate Church. And some people, I notice, when they write the name of the church, they write it S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T, like a straight line. But you'll notice that's not the sign. The word is the straight, S-T-R-A-I-T, the Straight Gate Church. If we are not willing to address what Jesus means, even what seems like stiff medicine, when he says, strive to enter in at that straight gate, we're not really living up to what we have committed to at this church for more than 40 years, which is to open the Bible and to say, as best we understand it, what it says, all of it, including whether the message, the medicine, is like a spoonful of sugar or whether it's something that tastes a little bit more difficult. In any way this morning, what I'd like to do over these next few moments is to look at this medicine, what Jesus clearly intended his hearers of that day to hear, and what he intends the hearers of the gospel today. What did Jesus mean when he said, strive to enter in at that straight gate? The title of the message this morning is Striving to Enter the Straight Gate. Striving to enter the straight gate. Our eternal destiny is at stake. We need to hear these words from Jesus today. We're going to divide this very simply into three parts, as we normally do here at Straight Gate. We're going to start, first of all, by talking just about the medicine itself, the medicine that Jesus offers and offers for our modern ears as well. Will you notice with me, if you have your Bibles here, Luke chapter 13, whether you have that in hard copy or in a digital form, I invite you to have it in front of you this morning. Luke 13, verse 22. It begins by saying that Jesus went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Jesus is heading to the great final Passover feast of his life, when he will be offered as the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. Just as in that ancient Passover feast, there would be hundreds, thousands of lambs slaughtered for a picture, this Old Testament covenantal picture. Now Jesus comes to Jerusalem as the true picture, as the true Lamb that is a pure lamb to be slain in sacrifice for all of our sins. And as he journeys, he is teaching. And he notice what is said here in verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? Are there only few that are going to be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Now, let's stop with just that phrase right there. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Now, the first thing we need to notice here is just this picture of a door. That's the idea of a gate here. It's a door, a small door. The important thing about this door is that Jesus is symbolizing this as the door into the kingdom of God. Now, notice the picture there already. He is saying to his teachers, to his hearers, you by nature are outside the door. You're not inside the door. Do you see that already? He says to everyone, you need to strive to get in that door because you weren't born there. Now, that's in and of itself a critical truth for us today. He was talking to people who believed that merely by being Jews, merely by being circumcised, merely embracing the covenant of God's promise to his people, they were in. They were inside the kingdom. So for them to hear, no. You, even you Jews, you need to strive to get in that door. It would have been a very difficult thing for them to compute. We hear the words of John the Baptist encouraging people to he was preaching the baptism of repentance to the Jewish people. The Jewish people would have known what it was for someone to get baptized when he was a Gentile and he wanted to become a Jew. He wanted to convert to Judaism. They would have known that baptism. But now John the Baptist was coming to them. They were the Jewish people, and they would have said, I need to get baptized? I'm already a Jew. What was John saying? No, friend, you're outside. You need to get inside. This is a critical door because it is the door to the kingdom of God. It is the door to, as we would say, heaven. But notice what he says. He says that this is a straight gate. This is the same word that is used in Matthew 7, 13, and 14, from which we get our name, enter in at the straight gate church. It's the word that literally just means small or narrow or constrained. You hear of someone who wears a straight jacket. A straight jacket. What is a straight jacket? What's the purpose of a straight jacket? It is to hold you in. It is to constrain you. It is a very tight squeeze, a tight fit. And so when Jesus says, enter in at the straight gate, he is saying the door is a very tight squeeze. It's not a big giant gate. It's not a big broad entryway. It's a very small door. It is a tiny door. But notice also what he says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. In other words, he doesn't say strive to enter in at a straight gate or at one of the straight gates. He said there's one door, there's one gate, there's one entryway into the kingdom of heaven. Now, the fact that that word is not palatable, that word is not popular in our modern day and age is no less that Jesus himself said it. He was the one who said in John that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father but by me. And if we intend to take Jesus' words seriously, if we intend to be people who are his followers, we identify with his name as Christians, we must embrace what he says, even when it is strong medicine to take. He said, there is one door. It's the only door to the kingdom of heaven. And it is a small one. It is a tight one. Now, why does Jesus say then we need to enter into this straight gate? Because do you notice here in verse 25? In verse 24? Because many will seek to enter in and shall not be able when once the master of the house is risen up and is shut to the door. You see, the point is this. You need to strive to enter in because at some point that small door will be shut. And when that door is shut, it will not be opened again. And there will be people, he says, that knock. Well, you see in verse 25, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. You see, in other words, he's saying, you strive to enter in at that small gate, at that small door now, because someday it will be too late. Now, the Bible gives us the day in which it will be too late. In the book of Hebrews, Scripture says that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. When I die, my decisions, my eternal destiny has been cast. I will have either entered in through that door, the straight gate, the narrow door, or I will be on the outside. And at that point, the door will be shut. And no amount of knocking, no amount of seeking to enter in at that point, Jesus said, will be sufficient. Because look at what he says. Verse 26, then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Then notice verse 28, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, in on the inside of the door, and you yourselves thrust out. Now what's he saying here? What a remorse, what a regret there will be for the people who have heard the words of truth from Jesus and who never entered into that door and will be on the outside. To the Jewish person seeing Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, their great heroes, the great fathers of the Jewish people on the inside, and all the prophets and in themselves on the outside, will be a cause, he says, for this kind of gnashing of teeth, this kind of eternal regret. We know probably some of us about the pain of remorse and regret. You probably have some of it perhaps in your life right now. You think back to decisions you made that cast out consequences that you now bitterly regret, and you say, if only, how much more someone on the outside, eternally, from the kingdom of God. We talk in many ways, as Jesus himself talks, about the great griefs, about the great bitternesses, about the great pains of eternal judgment, a place the Bible calls hell. But how much do we think of the remorse and the regret, the weeping and gnashing of teeth by those who said, if only I would have entered in through that straight gate. Jesus is the one who holds out this possibility before us. And notice not only that, he says in verse 29, and they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Do you see this word? Who is he speaking of there? He's speaking of Gentiles. He's speaking of us. In other words, think about, to the Jewish person of Jesus' day, the thought that they would be excluded from the kingdom of God, and the very people who they called dogs, the Gentiles, the dogs, the people they rejected, Jesus says they will be entering the kingdom of God and we will be shut out. That's exactly what Jesus is holding in front of them. And so therefore, the medicine he gives them is strive. Strive to enter in. Now, this word is a very important one. Do you know this is the same word that Jesus uses in the Gospel of John to talk about his servants fighting? He said, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. Do you know you could translate this word, fight, to enter in at the straight gate? It's the same word that Paul uses in 2 Timothy 4 when he says, I have fought a good fight. It has the idea of agony. That's literally in the Greek word, agony, agonize. Agonize to enter in at the straight gate. The picture is of one participating in athletic contest. It's actually used in that very same context in Scripture. It's as if you are a competitor in the Olympic Games and you are devoting all of your energies. Enter in. Strive, fight, agonize, compete to enter in at the straight gate. Now, this is, again, is this strong medicine for us? For those that we have rightly understood Scripture, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, place your trust in Him, rest in Him for eternal life. How can that be consistent with fighting and with striving? Well, I was reminded of a situation in my own life. I almost hesitate to talk about college basketball at such a morning as this, after the game last night involving my alma mater. Talk about remorse and regret. In any event, my favorite college basketball team, or one of them, lost last evening in heartbreaking fashion. And that very same college basketball program, I remember a time when there were two big games on the calendar. I was a freshman at this university. And in order to get into the gym for the game, you actually didn't need a ticket. There was no ticket. All the games were free. But a lot of people wanted to get in to Cameron Indoor Stadium for a basketball game, particularly when it was against arch rival North Carolina. And so, you know, do you know what people did? They lined up. Do you know how long they lined up for? About 2 months. Do you know what I did as a freshman? My dorm had two tents that got set up. One was about fourth place in line, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, and mine was, I think, 13th place. And you had 12 people in a tent, and one person had to be there at all times, including overnight. And in the middle of the night or at any time of the day, they would set off a siren, and they would come and check and make sure one person was in the tent. And if you were not in that tent, if there was a person not in your tent, you risked being kicked all the way to the back of the line. And people lived in a tent, switching off one at a time for about 2 months to get into that basketball game. Why? Because there was only one door for students to get into Cameron Indoor Stadium. And do you know what they needed? Do you know what was more important to them than their spring semester grades? Than their comfort? Than their social life? What was most important to them was getting in through that door at 7 o'clock p.m. for the game against North Carolina. They left everything aside and said, "That's what I want." And you know, I think that's really, in its essence, what Jesus is saying here. He's saying there's only one door to get to heaven. It's a small one. And there will be many left on the outside. Is it your life's purpose to enter in? Are you going to strive to enter in at that straight gate? That's the medicine he's giving to us. And that's why, secondly, I want to look not just at the medicine, but the need for the medicine in the first place. Because, again, if we are thinking about this biblically, we're going to be thinking, how does this work? Do I have to strive? Do I have to work my way in the door? Well, and of course, when we think about how this medicine applies, we need to understand actually what Jesus is saying here. I mean, imagine having medicine that you're just passing out and you have no idea what the medicine does or actually how it works. That wouldn't be a very good doctor, would it? I remember going to a doctor one day and I was talking to him about some pain I was feeling in my knee, and I happened to notice what he was doing on his laptop. Do you know what he was doing? He was Googling it. He was pulling up Google images of the knee, and it didn't inspire a lot of confidence, I'll tell you that much, in that particular time. You need to know what the medicine does and what it works for. And so is Jesus saying to us here, you strive to enter in at that narrow gate, that narrow door, that straight gate, by your effort, by your good works? And when we look at Scripture, we say, obviously, no, that's not right. In fact, in Titus, Paul tells all of us, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. He says in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. As if I could get myself through that door by being a good person and by trying hard and by doing all the right things, what would I be able to do when I got through that door? I made it. I could boast. The Bible has no room for boasting when I realize that it is by grace alone, through faith alone. So we immediately reject the idea. Jesus is not at all saying to the person who's trying his hardest to get to heaven and who is doing all the best works that he can do and trying to build up his own merit, Jesus is not saying, keep on going, strive, strive. That's the way to keep on fighting to get in. Nothing to do with that. But you see, I fear that just because we say, well, that's not what it means, that we don't then say what it actually means. That we don't hold out Jesus's medicine to some people who desperately need it. You see, there's a big difference here. There's a big difference. Imagine that you were going tomorrow to try to go to the national championship basketball game down in San Antonio, Texas. I won't be, I'll tell you that much. Imagine that you decided that you were going to try to get in that gate. You were going to try to enter that door to get in. And you showed up, you bought a plane ticket to get to San Antonio, and you bought an Uber from the airport, and you walked over, and you bought all your gear. You had done everything that was necessary to get in tomorrow night, and you walked up to the gate, and you said, "Let me in." And the guy said, "Well, do you have a ticket?" You said, "Well, no. But do you want to see how much I paid to fly here? Do you want to get my receipt for the Uber from the airport over here? Do you want to see how much I paid for all this gear that I'm wearing and the face paint that I have on and the spray that has dyed my hair red or blue or whatever team you're cheering for? You want to see all that?" And he says, "Well, no, actually, you don't really care how much you spent. Do you have a ticket?" No, see, for all of us who are going to try to work our way in, God says, "Do you have the ticket? Jesus is the door. You're only going to come in through him. It doesn't matter how hard you try to build up your merit. You're only coming in through him if you have the ticket." But does that mean that Jesus' words, "strive to get in," mean nothing? No, absolutely not. I'll just say by parenthetically or by almost by way of footnote, do you know how often in our doctrinal disputes, we just don't understand that actually two truths can both be true? They're just different medicines that apply to different people with different conditions. Let me explain it this way. We oftentimes hear so much dispute over God's sovereignty in salvation, that he elects us before the foundation of the world, that he chooses us, that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And we hold that up against another truth that says he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we say, "Well, I guess I just give up. I don't know how those two things are both true." You just be careful whenever you feel these holy tensions in truth, in what the Bible says, both are true. You see, what is the universal invitation of God to those who are on the outside of the door, who need to get in through the straight gate, who need to come into the door? Over the door it says, "Whosoever will may come." Everyone come in. You're welcome. Come in, come in. Come one, come all into the kingdom of God. And then that person reads that invitation and comes into the door, and he says, "I'm in." And then he turns around, as one pastor has said, and he looks over the sign at the other side of the door. And do you know what it says? "Come in, you blessed. Receive the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And you say, "Oh, he knew I'd come. He knew I would come." You see, these truths are not fundamentally in conflict. They are different medicines, if you will, applied to different conditions, both of which are true, both of which are a blessing. How many times in your spiritual life have you needed to hear the word of Jesus saying, "Come to me and rest," and you said, "That's the medicine I need for my soul"? And then there are other times in your life where you've heard the word that says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil," and you say, "That's the one I needed right now." Are they in conflict with one another? Of course not. How many times have we needed to hear the word that says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing"? And we say, "Lord, that's right. I need to rest in you. I need to trust entirely in your strength right now. That's exactly the word I need." And other times we hear Peter saying to us, "Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." And we say, "Lord, you're right. I need to give all diligence right now. I need to strive." See, both things are true. Both things are necessary. They are God's wonderful medicine for different conditions at different times. So let me encourage you, even while we say, no, it doesn't mean to strive your way into the door. It doesn't mean to work your way toward the door. It does mean something. And we shouldn't shy away from the medicine because it feels in tension with the fact that salvation is only by grace alone, through faith alone. So what does it mean when Jesus said, "Strive, strive"? What condition is it treating? Let's look thirdly and finally at the use of this medicine. the use of this medicine. What medicine do we need for our condition? Well, will you notice with me what this person who is asking the question is saying? Look at verse 23. Let's just look at what Jesus is saying. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? Now, that sounds like a question that many people in the Christian church would ask. Have you ever heard the kind of question that says, well, what about those who have never heard the gospel? What's going to happen to them, Pastor? Well, how does this aspect of salvation blend with this aspect over here? What about this area or that area over here? And we deal in very theoretical, hypothetical, abstract theology. This guy is asking a good theological question, one that I'm sure some Bible studies of that day would have spent a lot of time trying to sort through. And you know, Jesus cuts through it all? And he says, that's not the medicine you need right now. The medicine you need right now is not whether few are going to be saved, but whether you are going to be saved. Do you know what this condition, what this medicine for striving to enter in at the straight gate is for? Those who are relying on mere curiosity, that's our first, on mere curiosity. The ones who like to talk. I am surrounded by people in this area. People who like to ask the questions about how can a sovereign God oversee a world of evil? How does that work? How does this work with this idea, abstract idea over here? And Jesus, it's as if Jesus is grabbing this person by the lapels and saying, don't you see there's something much more practical? There's something much more urgent than this theoretical question. And there's nothing wrong with that question, but there's a more important one right now. It's whether you are going to get in through the straight gate. It's whether you are going to get there. And so, friend, today, if you are the kind of person that delight in dealing with abstract theology, you delight in dealing in hypotheticals and theoreticals, but frankly, right now, you don't know whether you've ever entered the door that is Jesus Christ into the kingdom of God, the time is to stop dealing in hypotheticals and theoreticals and start trying to get practical. Jesus says, you better fight. You better make every effort so that you get through the door. You see, this is the reality of what this door is in the first place, friends. The door is big enough for anyone to get through, but it's small enough that no one with a big head can. It's too small for someone with a proud head, a one who says, I won't submit to what Jesus tells me is needed to get in the door. This is why Jesus says to the people of his day, unless you become converted and become like a little child, you'll never enter into the kingdom of heaven. Oh, it's humility for me to humble my own thinking and enter in through the straight gate. Yes, it's a word for those who are merely curious about the matter of salvation. Here's another thing it's for. It's medicine for those who are complacent about getting in to the kingdom of God. For those who are complacent, will you notice with me what these people that he is talking to are trusting in? When he says, the door is closed, notice verse 26, then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. Now, why do they think they should be admitted? Because they said, Jesus, we were around you. You're one of our flesh and blood. We heard you teach, and in every age, there will be people who mistake proximity to Jesus for a personal relationship with Jesus. They will mistake being close to Jesus in terms of a church sense, in terms of a teaching sense, and they will mistake it for actually knowing Jesus. You see, friend, at that great day, it won't matter whether your parents were very faithful to the cause of Christ, whether they were in the kingdom. It will not matter whether you were a faithful church attender in that day and heard the words of Jesus faithfully preached and taught. It will not matter even that you have heard or read those words through faithful Bible reading. That won't be the question. The question will be whether you know him Whether you have a personal relationship, this is what Jesus says to them. He says, I know you not whence ye are. I don't know you, and I don't know where you're from, because you never entered the gate. And so if you are a person today who is relying on what someone else did to you as your hope of salvation, you are relying on water that was sprinkled on you when you were a baby. You are relying on a faithful church attendance. You are relying on someone else's connection to God. Jesus says it's time to wake up. It's time to strive to enter in at that straight gate, because friends, you may be on the outside, now they're on the inside. You see, this is the very nature of the straight gate. As we said, it is big enough for anyone to enter in, but do you know what it's too small for? You to come in on a piggyback from someone else. It's too small for you to get in other than on your own, not relying on someone else. And here's the last thing. This medicine is not just for those who are dealing in mere curiosity and complacency, but finally, in their own kind of control. In their own kind of control. Will you see, notice with me what Jesus says in verse 30? He says, and behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. What a sobering word this is. Jesus is saying that there are people who in every way in the world's eyes are first. They're in first place. They've got it made. They're the ones with the money. They're the ones with the respect of others. They're the ones who have succeeded in earthly terms. And Jesus said the great sobering reality for these is that they may find themselves, for all their earthly success, outside the door, not inside it. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be great remorse and regret. And on the flip side, there will be people who have been last in this world. The people who have not been respected, the people who have not advanced, the people who have not appeared to be a success in any way, and they will be the ones inside the kingdom, not through any merit of their own, but because they said, my only ticket in is Jesus, who is the door, who has won his merit and offers it to me. What does Jesus say to those who are seeking to control and cling so tightly to their own life and to all of its seeming successes? Jesus says, you can't take that in through the door. The door is too small to come in with your big head, your stubborn heart, and the big billboard of all of your successes that you think merit you a place in the kingdom of God. And so I say to you today, whether you are dealing in mere curiosity, whether you are dealing in complacency, whether you are dealing in your own sense of control, in your accomplishments, in your own control, hear the word of Jesus to all of us today. That person needs to strive to enter in at the straight gate, to drop all that would hold them back from coming to that small door, and by faith, in repentance, kneeling and taking the way in that only Jesus can offer. Oh, friends, don't throw away this medicine because it doesn't treat every condition, because it doesn't apply to the idea of working your way through merit into heaven. No, Jesus has a word for all of us today. And my prayer for each one of us in this room, myself included, is that we will have entered into the straight gate. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the wonderful words that Jesus gives us, sometimes words that seem easier to take than others. And yet even in this sobering medicine, we hear this clear call, enter in at the straight gate. And so I pray this morning, Father, that you would speak words of truth and comfort to all of our hearts, that if there's one here who has never entered in at that gate by faith, that they are on the outside this morning, not on the inside, that today would be the day of salvation, that today that would be the day they hear the word to strive, to agonize, to fight, to lay behind anything that would hold them back from coming to that door by faith and entering in. May you speak to our hearts this morning, we pray, Father. Let's pause for just a moment with our heads bowed. May we apply the medicine that Jesus has given us this morning. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, Father. May it be true for each one here, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.